Okay, so we're done talking about that now. We're recording. So, all right, let's pray and we'll get started. Father God, Lord, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just your word, Lord. I thank you for your church. I thank you for the Past Point class and just allowing us to gather week in and week out and just get to know you better, Lord. I pray that you would just speak today, Lord. Just bless those that are in the class, Lord. There's a million things going on, and Lord, there's some of us that have HBI starting, and there's some of us that are taking new classes, and there's just a lot of things going on, Lord. We pray that you would just watch over us, Lord. Just bless us, use us in the way that you would see fit, Lord. Lord, I pray you just speak to us today in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so how many of you, because it seems fairly full today, but some weeks it is and some weeks it is. So for the last 2 weeks, I've started something new, and I told you it was only going to take maybe 3 weeks. It's going to take four. It's just the way it is, but I'm going to be done. No, it's going to be four. So has there anybody that just hasn't been here for the first two of these, right? So several of you guys. I'm going to review a little bit here, but it's going to be very quick because I do want to get to some new stuff, or this will take 6 months. So, I would say listen to the recordings, but I can't do that. So I'm going to leave the recorder right here, and we're going to see what happens today. Okay. Before I get into that, oh my gosh. Who's been reading? Who's been keeping up with the, we're like at Exodus chapter 16, something like that. After today, I'm a few chapters behind, but
I did a massive binge.
Paige does. So awesome. I just keep up to Genesis chapter 2. Hey, everybody's got goals.
No, we weren't.
Okay, so
read three
verses. So I really am glad that we're doing this, so I hope it keeps going well. So anyway, to couple along with this, I wanted to take kind of January here and just talk about Past Point and the meaning of Past Point and why I've just titled it Why We Do What We Do, right? And so after that, I'm just going to each week pick something out of what we read that week, whether it be in Numbers. We're going to talk about, this guy was the son of this guy, and that's what I'm going to teach about, or whatever, right? So, but before that, I wanted to get into some of this. So I've kind of asked the question. We got to move because I got to get into some new stuff. So it's called Past Point. Why is it called Past Point? Somebody tell me. We're going to have to move. Yes. Roger had the idea that he wants us to be past the point of no return, right? And what passage does he do we base that out of, right? John 6, 66, 69, where Christ is like, some of the disciples had just left, and Christ asked Peter, will you also go away, right? Because there's just the 12 disciples at that point. And Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. What other hope do we have? And that's where we need to be. We have to have the attitude that I can't even process going back to the old life because you have everything that I need. And going back really isn't even an option anymore. And so that's kind of where we get Past Point. And if you want to go back and listen to the scratchy recording, you can and figure out more about that. But I got to keep moving. So let's see. So we want to be past the point of no return, not because I want you to be, but because that's where Christ wants us to be. He wants us to be willing to go all in. So if you got your Bibles, flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. No, we're not there, but this is where we base kind of what we do in Past Point. So if you've been here, you know, but if you haven't been, you don't. Did you know that Past Point, there's four goals for Past Point? Does anybody know? I mean, some of you know the first one because that's what we've been talking about. What's the first goal? To be an example of the believer. 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's 2 Timothy, so that's not going to do much for me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 12. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and purity. So That's the first goal of what we do in Passpoint, to be an example of the believer, right? And so I'm going to very quickly, because I got to the end of this goal, and that's as far as I've gotten 2 weeks. So I'm going to very quickly move through this. You can do some side study if you want to, and I want to get into at least the second goal, hopefully a little bit into the third one, but we'll see. So the first goal, it says you're to be an example in word, right? So that doesn't mean just the things that you say, but it's also the thoughts that you have, the motives that you have, all of those things, right? Are you an example to the believer in word, right? And so I really am going to move quickly, guys, because I want to get through this. So in conversation, right? Conversation, it's not, you know, hey, we're talking in a group and that's conversation. No, the conversation is kind of like your behavior, your lifestyle, the way that you go about life. That is your conversation. Are you an example to the believer? Now, we're not even talking about the lost world at this point. Are you an example to the believer, the rest of the church, in the way that you behave yourself, in the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you live your life? Well, maybe, maybe not. Well, that's for you to decide. Like I said, I'm not, so we're moving on. Your conversation. It says in charity, be an example to the believer in charity. Well, that charity, and I've kind of looked at what each one of these words means, that charity means agape. And if you guys have ever studied the word love in the Bible, it's translated 5 different ways at different times. But agape is kind of the way that I best describe it. I heard this in a sermon one time, was agape love is kind of a love in action. It's a love with shoes on. It's a love that's ready to get out there and do something, right? You can say I love you to somebody, and I'll do anything for you, but I'm still sitting on the couch, so you're not really ready to go do nothing for me. An agape love is a love that is in action. It's ready to go. It's ready to do something, right? That's the kind of love that Christ was asking Peter for him to have at the end of John chapter 21. And Peter kept just having this phileo love, this brotherly love. And if you go and study that out, that's a really cool study to do as well. But anyway, so in charity, are you an example to the believer in charity in the way that you love your brother? You know, and I kind of use the example, I'll throw it out there again, that most of you guys would know that I would do almost anything for the people that are close to me, right? And it shouldn't I shouldn't have to have that caveat. I should, and I'm not, I don't, and I'm trying to grow in this area. God's really been kind of pushing me, but, excuse me. I should be willing to do anything, to drop everything I got, give everything I got to any brother in Christ, right? Not just the ones that are really close to me, right? And so that would be an example in charity, right? Okay, so moving on. In spirit, right? And so this spirit was kind of like your disposition, right? It's the way that you carry yourself, the way that you hold yourself. And the way I kind of I went about this is I asked 3 questions. I said, okay, so when you think of yourself, if you can like give yourself one word, how do you think of yourself? Are you a happy person, a cheerful person, an angry person, a fiery person, just whatever, what word comes to your mind, right? Are you that? So that's kind of your disposition. Okay, so that was the first question. So the second question I asked was, so if I was to ask the rest of the room to give one word about you, what would they give? You know, angry, irritable, you know, hypocritical. What? No, we're not going to talk about me right now. We're not doing this. Mitchell's just mad because I gave him homework yesterday. So, no. Oh, yeah. No, so if we had time, that would be. So here was the question that I asked. Do the two match, right? Is the way that you think of yourself and the way that I'm a happy person. Yeah, I'm a people person. I'm a fiery person. I'm a whatever. You know, do other people see you in the same light, right? And that was the whole point. And then so you really get to the heart of the issue, and it's like, okay, now if God could give you one word, what would his word be? You know, and if do those 3 things, do they match? You know, or where are you at? And so you can go back and listen to that maybe if it worked. But that was kind of the point. Okay.
Well,
I'm going to start walking around then. So anyway, So anyway, that was kind of the point I was trying to bring up is, you know, does it match? So, okay, the next one, in faith, you know, just the way that you rely on God, right? Faith is just a reliance on God, and no matter what, are you an example to other believers in the way that you, your whole entire life relies on God, right? And so last one, impurity, right? In the way that you keep yourself clean, in the way that just the quality, the everything. Are you an example to the believer in those things? So we spent a lot of time on those, and I've got to keep moving, right? So the first goal of the Passpoint class, right, the thing that I'm supposed to be edifying you guys to be, right? We want to be past the point of no return for Christ. But here's these four goals. The first one is to be an example to the believer, right? Are we being an example to each other? To the rest of the church, to the do people see you, the way that you carry yourself, the way that you do things, and do they think, huh, that's I should be like that, right? That those people are like Christ, right? Because if it is, then they'd be, you know, what do you do? Where do you go? Who, you know? And so that's the thing. We should always be that example. So here's the second goal. So keep going. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." So here's the second goal. To be established in the Word of God, right? And like I told you guys the last 2 weeks, I didn't come up with this, but I wasn't going to reinvent the wheel. Because when Roger moved on and the opportunity came up to kind of start teaching Passpoint, this is where it's at, guys. We need to be an example to the believer, and we need to be in the Word of God. And this is, you know, I'm excited about you guys making it through the Bible in a year. I pray that you all do, because it's gratifying. It's rewarding to yourself. But at the end of the day, if you don't make it and you miss a few chapters here and there, the reason that we're going to keep doing it and I'm going to teach out of it each week is because if you fall off, not that I'm hoping that you do, I hope you don't, but you can pick right back up. Because at the end of the day, the goal is to be established in the Word of God, to be in the Word of God. We've got to be, right? It says to give attendance to reading, right? So Paul says, I want you to give attendance to reading. That means to hold the mind towards, right? To pay attention to be cautious about. Are you cautious about reading the Word of God? We all know that we're supposed to be reading, but do you go about it with this mindset, right? Or is it like, I got to get through this. I got to get done. I got to keep moving. I got to go, right? I don't know nothing about that. We always have things going on, right? Are you cautious with the Word of God? Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when I say, are you cautious with the Word of God? It's not going to hurt you. Well, I mean, it might if you're in sin and you're in it. But are you cautious about it? Are you going about it with kind of a reverence? You know, when you're cautious with something, you know, so here's a really worldly example, but when I go collect the eggs out of the chicken coop, right, and sometimes I don't take the basket because I forgot to take it, so I'm like putting these eggs all in my arm right here, and I'm like, what happens if I drop the egg? It's going to break. So I'm going about it with a caution, right? I want to be careful with it. I don't want to break it. Yes.
In awareness,
right. Anything else, I'm like, shove it in my pocket. But you're a little more careful, right? Are you careful about the way you go with the Word of God? Now, I'm not saying that you need to be like, well, I don't know what that means. You should go about it really looking into it, right? Really understanding what it is that you're getting into, right? Another thing that it means when it says give attendance to, now I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but it's kind of the meaning of attendance altogether, right? But if you're in attendance to something, what does that mean? That you're present, that you're actually there, right? Not just in physical form, but you also have to be mentally present, right? I can tell you guys that we're going to read through the Bible. It's like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. I didn't have nothing to do yesterday, so I read. But I got a lot of things going on today, so I'll just catch up, or you know, I'll just pick up where they're at. No. If you're going to give attendance to the Word of God, which is what it says, give attendance to reading. Be there. Be in the book, right? Be in the stinking Word of God. Why is that so hard for us to do? And I say us because I get it, guys. I'm right there with you sometimes, right? So, but you also got to be mentally present. And this is what's hard to do, right? Ask yourself this question, because if you've been kind of doing the I'm reading through the Bible thing this year, right? Pretty much everybody. Oh, dang it, probably just scratchy. Probably everybody. Okay, so let me ask you this question. How many times in the past couple weeks, because we've been reading for the past, that you've been reading as a class, have you gotten through a chapter, and when you got to the end of the chapter, you had no idea what that chapter was about, right? You have no, and not that you just didn't understand it, but it's like, if I was to say, okay, what was that about? And you'd be like, well, Joseph, and, right?
Are we supposed to be raising our hands if that was us? Well, please say
no. That happens to me all the time. That happens, so I'm talking to myself when I ask these questions, right?
I have a really good grocery list.
Yeah, I'm asking myself here, your eyes went over the words, but you have no idea what you just read. I'm not saying that you're not in the book. You read it, right? In the sense of your eyes went over the words, but you got no idea. You know what you're going to do tomorrow now, right? You've got your to-do list all right here, right? But you don't know what you just read. You know your grocery list. I had this before you even said it, right? You know your grocery list. It's mentally right here, but I don't know what I just read. Man, guys, we've got to be mentally present. And I'm not, this happens to me all the time, right? I'm like, I know, I got a lot of, I know everything else I need to be doing. You know what? If that's us, if it's to the point where we can't slow down enough to just mentally process life, that we're only doing it when we're in the Word of God, then we're really not giving God the attention that He deserves, right? And I'm king of this. I'm king of this. It's like I know I need to, so I'm going to, right? It's the thing I'm supposed to do. I want to, so I'm doing it. But then I do it, and I'm like, there's no gratification in that. There's no reward in that. And I'm just telling you guys, and I'm telling myself, that's not glorifying to God. We've got to take time. And you may not believe it, but just a little bit of, just praying. Hey, God, just clear my mind. I just want to read for 15 minutes. I want to read for 30 minutes. However, right? I'm a slow reader. Just give me an hour here, God. A lot of times that works. Believe it or not, talking to God and asking Him, it works. So just throwing that out there, right? You've got to be mentally present. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Right? He says you're going to meditate on these things day in and out, right? I remember soon after I got saved, in the first year of my salvation, I went through this kind of book study thing with a guy. It was kind of a group of us. And one of the things, the craziest things he said, and it was, to me, at the beginning, it was crazy, because we were reading the same book over and over and over again, right? And then we started pulling keywords out of it, and it was just his way of teaching us kind of how to do a book study. And then he was like, "So you need to start meditating on it." And I'm like, "What do you mean, meditate?" You know, because I think meditation, I'm thinking like the Buddhist guy who's, sitting up in the mountain, and yeah, here's how he explained it, and it was the craziest thing ever. He's like, "You know how a cow kind of chews on his cud?" And I'm like, "Dude, what?" He's like, "Just kind of chew on it. Just kind of just have it there all the time. You never really digest it, but just meditate." And I'm like,
"Did Tom Ford say this?"
No.
That sounds like something he would say.
Yeah. But it was like, it was really crazy, but once I got past the... It really made sense, right? It's just to always have it there. Yeah, so I'm reading this same book over and over again, a short book, right? So I'm like, certain things, I would pick something. I'm like, "So what does that mean, right? I don't completely understand it." So I'm just processing it throughout the day. It's always right there. Instead of trying to process the whole book, I'm just processing it, right? So when you read that day, just think about what does that mean? And you're just always processing it. It's not I'm reading to check it off my list. But we're giving attendance to reading. We're really in the book. We're really trying to find out what God has for us, right? That's what that means. Excuse me. So we're supposed to meditate therein. Proverbs 2:4-6 says, "If thou seekest her as silver..." Now, we're not talking about an actual gal here, guys. "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom... out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding," right? We got to seek this thing. We got to actually put some effort into it. Now, think about this, and I'll just make this analogy because, well, we all can kind of relate. When you start dating somebody, or call it dating, call it when you start being interested in somebody, you know everything about them, right? You know the things they like, the things they don't like. You know all of those things, and you are into it, and you're spending all of your time being into it because you want to understand. Why don't we give that same reverence to the Word of God? Just ask it. Right? So, okay, so we're supposed to give attendance to reading, and then it says, to exhortation, right? To exhortation. That means comfort, consolation, right? Entreaty. We're supposed to, so ask yourself this, why am I reading? Why are you reading? Like, because I told you to? Because that's a really lousy reason, guys. You'll find out soon that I'm just a dude. If you haven't figured that already, I still struggle. I still, I'm nothing. So if you're just reading because I told you to, that's not the right reason, right? Because it's the right thing to do, that's not the right reason to read either, right? It is the right thing to do, but that can't be your reasoning. Because you don't want God to be mad at you? Well, that's, I guess that's valid, but at the same time, that shouldn't be why you're in the Word of God every day. It needs to be deeper than that. We need to read so we can first be comforted by the Word of God, right? When you read and you read something, it's like, that's really cool. That applies to me, right? So first, be comforted. And then second, so that we can in turn take that comfort and give it to somebody else. That's what exhortation is. It's taking the Word. It's just, you can build people up, right? You know, you exhort them. One of the most important things we can do for our brothers and sisters, for the people sitting in this room, for the people sitting in the sanctuary, right, is to exhort them, right? That's, give them a good word, right? Can you think of anybody that's like, you know, no matter what, when you see this person, they're going to have a good word, no matter what it is, even if it's just, you know, right? I wish I was that person. I'm just not. I'll just completely tell you, I'm just not that person, right? But I can think of guys that it's like, no matter what it is, even if they don't have anything, like, they come up with something clever to say, right? You know, and it's like, you don't even, like, man, that haircut looks good. I ain't had my haircut in 6 months, right? Or they've just always got something to say, you know, whatever. You know, they just always have something. That's what exhortation is, right? You want to, in turn, though, always be exhorting them in the Word of God. You know, man, what you were doing with that guy, you know, I really appreciate that. The way that you came along and just help that person out, or hey, the way that you and your wife minister to that person, or hey, I heard you're doing, you know, discipleship with these people. They're really, you know, praise the Lord. That's exhortation, guys. Exhort them. Give them something to roll with, right? Encourage them to do something that maybe they didn't believe they could do on their own. Now think about that for a minute. Exhort them to do something that maybe they didn't think they could do on their own. I'll give you an example of this, and I'm not trying to toot my horn. This was God's idea, and I just did what he told me to do. During the Vision Conference last year, God totally, and it wasn't just, you know, you hear people say, God put this on my heart. No, God really put this on my heart. It was a directive of God. And I could spend a lot of time with the story, but I'm not going to. So he was like, hey, you need to take a few of the guys that, you know, are kind of following along, and you need to exhort them to take the next step, right? And what that meant was God put about four guys on my heart that is like, hey, these guys need to get into HBI. Not because they need a bunch of learning, but this is the next step, right? So I had this genius idea. It was God's idea, but I, you know, put, so I get these guys together and I'm like, hey, this is what I think you guys need to do. You guys, and they, all but one of them were like, I think you're kind of crazy, right? That's not for me right now. And so I took, you know, we took several weeks. Paige and I, she met with their wives, and I met with them, and I just kind of explained to them and showed them in the Word why I thought they were ready, you know. And that was the biggest thing, was just exhorting them that you guys don't think you're ready. You guys think maybe a few years down the road, and then a few years down the road, you know what they would have thought? Maybe a few years down the road. And so I was just like, you guys are the most qualified right now to do this. Take that step, go and do it, right? That's exhortation. And I could give you a whole lot more about it, but it so far it's paid off, right? God is blessing the thing. You have to exhort somebody to do something that they think they can't do on their own, right? I tell you guys that you want to read through the Bible in a year, and you're like, I don't know about that. No, I'm going to exhort you to do it, right? I'm going to exhort you to do it. All right, I already used that analogy, so, you know, you have to, it's the same thing like with Yeah. You have to exhort them. You have to know them. You have to know things about them that they don't know on their own, right? Romans 12:8 says, "Or he that exhorteth," or on exhortation, "he that giveth, let him do with simplicity." It shouldn't be a hard thing to do, guys. "He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy," mercy. "He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Sorry, guys. This whole, like, knowing that I can't walk makes me want to walk back there and back here. And so here's what it boils down to. And I mean, I hate to make it more simple than it is, but here's what it boils down to. Are you reading the Word of God daily? And then are you taking what you read and exhorting other people with it? Simple. I'm just boiling it down for you. Is that what you're doing? Exhortation is going to be hard to do if you're not reading first, because you're not going to have anything to exhort with. It'd be like going to battle without first going to the armory to get supplies with, right? I'm not going to war without a gun. I'm just not. Right? And the last thing, to doctrine. We're only going to get through this point. That's okay. The next two are shorter-ish, so we'll see how it goes. So we're to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, right? To doctrine. Doctrine, so what is doctrine? Somebody tell me what doctrine is, right? It's basically like a topic. It's something that we call a core value, right? It's a belief we have about a doctrine, or a topic. Here's some examples. You got like the doctrine of salvation. It's just a topic, right? The doctrine of eternal security. The doctrine of the Bible itself. The doctrine of baptism, the doctrine of the church, right? And so basically there's topics, and it's our core beliefs on these topics, right? That's what doctrine is. So you're supposed to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So you're supposed to understand the doctrine, right? You're responsible. Past point, you as a whole, it is a goal of us to be responsible with the doctrine that we know. You're responsible for that, to understand it. Now, like most things in the Bible, each subject or topic hits a person differently, right? Now, salvation better hit everybody the same, right? If we've got issues on salvation, we need to stop right now and talk about it. But there's certain things that, you know, some people are like, I care more about that than other things. Now, I'm not saying you don't care, but so some people are really tight on, like, legalism. Like, you need to show up to church in a dress, and you need to have a suit on, and that's not for me, right? And here's the deal. I know if I'm going to preach somewhere, I'm probably going to wear a tie just because I want to be respectful. But at the end of the day, God's not worried about the clothes I got on. That's how I feel about it, right? But that would be a doctrine, right? Something like that. Or maybe like the music we play, right? Some people are like, no way we're going to have any drums, right? No, man, I don't care. Rock it out, right? Get people to the throne. That's what so those are like simple things that some people might care about, might not care about, right? So it's still doctrine. It's still a topic. It's still the things. But those are kind of the simple kind of things. But here's the point. We'll call them different tiers of doctrine, right? Those things would be like tier 3, right? Who cares, right? The tier 1 type things, those are the things we all need to agree on. Salvation, baptism, right? Eternal security. You're not losing your salvation. If you don't agree with that, then we need to stop now and we're going to talk about it, right? Those are tier 1 kind of things. There's got to be something, some things, multiple things, that you're willing to say, no, hold the phone. We're stopping right now, right? Some people can say, you know, I don't know about that church because they do that, and whatever. Okay, but if we're going to talk about salvation by grace, right, or being able to keep your salvation because it's eternal, right? Or the baptism. No, hang on. That's a hill I'm going to stand and fight for. That's a hill that I'm going to go to battle for, right? That'd be like, you know, somebody saying something about my wife, and it's like, no, hang on a minute. We're going to stop right now, and we're going to talk about this. Whereas if somebody says something about the guys I work with, I'm going to be like, they can take care of themselves, right? You know, there's certain things that there's different tiers, right? There's different importance levels, right? Not that I don't care, but I have what I think about it, but there's certain things. Some of them aren't worth arguing about, but you better be willing to go out, get your sword, and go to battle for certain things. You've got to. If someone challenges you on your salvation, you better be willing to go to battle. What about your Bible? Somebody challenges you on your Bible, you're like, eh, whatever, that's just what I read. Mm-mm. No, no. What about your church? These are things worth fighting for, right? So here's the next question. This is where it kind of puts you guys to the test here. So do you know why you believe, or a better question, why as a church we believe the things that we believe? Well, yeah, because that's what they teach. No, no. Do you know why we believe the things that we believe? If someone was to ask you, could you show them in the Bible why we believe the way we believe on salvation, on baptism, on the core things, right? Because if you can't, you should be able to. And if you can't, then I'm not doing my job good enough. And so that's what we need to be, right? This is a goal. This is one of the goals of Past Point 2, know the doctrine, right? And so that's what we need to do. So here's a question for you. What does Heartland believe on some of these key doctrines, right? And instead of doing all this work for you, right, you can find this all on the website, on these core things, right? Because when people are searching for a church, what do? They get on the website. Because nobody wants to just come to church anymore. They want to know what they're getting into before they go. You can find all this on the website. There's all these different pages, but there's a page on our beliefs, right? And it's on the key things, right? We're not going to talk about music on there. We're not going to talk about what we wear, right? I'm sure somewhere on the website you can find out that we're a pretty casual dressing church because somebody wants to know that before they come. But no, I'm talking about the beliefs. It's all on the website. So here's your homework. I'm all about giving homework here lately. Here's your homework. Go to the website. Look at the beliefs page. It's not forever long, but go there. Look at it and find out exactly what we believe. You should know already, but what we believe and why we believe it. There's going to be references on there, right, of why we believe what we believe. Read all of it. It's really going to be good for us as a class to do this exercise, right? And these are just the key things. You can dig a little deeper on the website and find some deeper stuff, but just find out. Go to the Our Beliefs page. It's right there. Read it. You know, because it's a goal of Past Point to know the doctrine. You know, this is what we're holding to. This is what we need to know, right? So we need to be established in the Word. Give attendance to the Word, right? We've got to be there so we can exhort other people in the Word and know the doctrine, right? Know the doctrine. And God forbid somebody was to ask one of you guys, you know, hey, what fellowship do you go to? Hey, I go to the Past Point Fellowship, this side or the other. And then you get later on in the conversation and, you know, so what do you guys believe on this? And it's like, well, I don't know, you should go talk to Jason. Well, send them my way. I'm all for that. But man, I want you guys to be able to defend your own house, right? I want you to be able to defend your own house. I remember way back in the day, right after I got saved. You know, if you just got saved, that's all you know, right? Right after I got saved, I knew that God saved me, and it was the best thing in the world, and I wanted everybody that I knew, the people that I were close to, needed the same thing, right? So I had this thought that while it was really cool that God saved me, I just wish he could do it to my brother, right? Because I was close to my brother at the time, way closer than I am now even. But it was like, God could do that to me. I was pretty jacked up, but my brother was way more jacked up than I was, right? Let's just call it what it is. And I thought, there's no way God can save this guy. So to fast forward and so we can get done, I remember actually having the conversation with him. You know, we were playing golf. I totally tricked him into coming to church, and I told him I'd go play golf with him. So we were playing golf, and I finally get up the nerve, because I just got saved, right? You know, give me some grace here. And I just got saved, and I was like, man, are you even saved? He's like, yeah, I am. And I'm like, so I didn't know what else to say. So I was like, because I didn't believe it. I thought he was full of it, right? There's no way this guy was saved. And I was like, when did you get saved? And it was like, at that point, you could just see. And he'll tell you the same story on the other side. He's like, no, when did you get saved? And he couldn't tell me. And so it was like he was waiting for me to say something else and to have the next thing to say, because that's where, you know, the gospel would have been great to present. And instead I was like, you need to go talk to Pastor Brian. And that's exactly what I did. And you can ask Brad. He'll tell you. He called the office and he made an appointment to come meet Brian and get saved. Brian will tell you that Brad is the only person that's ever made an appointment to come get saved. But he did. And it's because it's like, that's all I knew. I'm like, well, you need to go talk to this guy. If it's all you know, send somebody my way. But here's at the end of the day, I want you guys to know. So you can give it out, right? And so it encouraged me to learn and to grow and to know these things. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I don't know a lick about what this book's got to say. I know a few things that people have showed me. I want you guys to know the doctrine, right? I want you to know the doctrine. All right, so we're going to stop there. We'll get into goal number 3 next week. It seems like everybody was here, so there's not going to be any review next week. We're just getting after it. So we're going to get through the Barnes. Yeah, they're sick. So, but they were here last week. So, yeah. So most people were here. So anyway, so we'll get into the next one. So we'll go from there. All right, so let's pray, and we'll get out of here, guys. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Passpoint class, Lord. I do pray for those who have things going on in their lives, Lord. We just pray for Lauren and her ankle, Lord. We pray for Abby and Chris as, you know, they're growing a baby, and we pray that you would just give them the grace as new parents, Lord. I pray for us as a class that we could help them out any way that we could, Lord. We just pray for just those who are, you know, got things going on, and I just do pray that you would use us to exhort each other, Lord, to grow each other up in Christ, Lord. I do pray that we would take this time to be in your word, to learn your word, Lord, and to learn the doctrine. Lord, this is really crucial stuff, Lord, and at the end of the day, I want to be able to protect my house, and I don't mean physically, Lord, but I mean against the adversary, and we can only do that with the word of God. So I pray that we would learn how to handle our weapon, handle our sword, and that we would be able to just be sent out and used, Lord. Just use us, send us out this week as lights in a dark world, and just use us. Give us opportunities to be used of you. In Christ's name, amen. All right, guys, thank you. See you next week.